The following sermon was preached by Anselm of Canterbury sometime between 1033 and 1109 AD.
The scripture reading is from Matthew 14, verses 22 to 33. Immediately, he made the disciples get into a boat and go on ahead to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me!" Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is God's word.
In this passage, when viewed through its mystical interpretation, we find a concise description of the church's condition from the arrival of the Savior to the world's end. Jesus directed his disciples to enter a boat, symbolizing the entrustment of the church to the leadership of the apostles and their successors. The command to go to the other side signifies moving forward toward the haven of the celestial realm before Jesus himself completely departed from the world. And when Peter came down from the boat, he walked on the water to reach Jesus. This prophecy has been realized and continues to unfold when devout preachers are sent to nations unfamiliar with the faith. Just as Peter descends from the church, his nurturing mother, where he received education, holy teachers also extend with humility to those outside, demonstrating the path to salvation. Peter walks on water as these teachers triumph over temptation, influencing multitudes to believe in Christ. It is a continuous journey, not a standstill, as they increasingly forget past concerns and strive toward future virtues. Their goal is to reach Jesus, the Savior and immutable truth, holding on to him tightly for genuine salvation and steadfastness. Following this, when he noticed the strong wind, he became afraid and began to sink. He cried out, saying, "Lord, save me!" The forceful wind represents the intense efforts of evil spirits to agitate hearts, causing restlessness in persecuting the faithful or leading them toward wickedness. The wind becomes truly formidable when Satan, in the latter days, is unleashed with full strength against the righteous. This scenario is hinted at in the passage where Peter, symbolizing preachers, is described as fearing the turbulent wind. Even those considered perfect will experience fear during widespread persecution under Antichrist. In such times, there will be a moment of sinking due to horror at the torments inflicted on the saints and amazement at the deceptive signs performed by Antichrist's followers. The heart will waver, and in the weaker part of the mind, thoughts may lead to being overwhelmed unless Christ's hand intervenes. Yet, being among the elect, there will be a cry to Christ, "Lord, save me." And with his aid, one will be lifted up. This period will witness unprecedented tribulation, unparalleled from the beginning of the world. If not shortened, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be abbreviated. Therefore, it fittingly follows. Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him, saying, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" The Savior promptly extends his hand of salvation to each of his own, preventing them from being tempted beyond their capacity. He swiftly grasps and lifts them with a certain divine assistance. "O you of little faith," he says, "why did you doubt?" Whose faith will remain unshaken in that tribulation when a martyr pouring out his blood for Christ can no longer perform miracles and the torturer demonstrates wonders before his eyes? Consider the temptation of the human soul during such times. Whose courage will not be deeply tested when the one inflicting cruelty is also renowned for miracles? Antichrist and his ministers will unleash such wickedness and deceit against the righteous that even the hearts of the blessed will tremble with significant fear. Hence it is written, "So that if possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Matthew 24:24. Understand this not because the elect can fall, but because they will experience intense terror, as if on the verge of falling. We can observe that turmoil of waves, and Peter's wavering or partial sinking occurs even in our time in a spiritual sense on a daily basis. Each person's recurring sin is like a tempest. When you love God, you walk on the water with the world's upheavals beneath your feet. But if you love the world, it engulfs you as it tends to devour, not support, its enthusiasts. When your heart wavers with the desire for sin, call upon the divinity of Christ to conquer that desire. Recognize that the wind is considered contrary not only when the world's adversity confronts you, but also when its prosperity smiles upon you. Wars, tumults, famine, pestilence, or even personal calamities signal adverse winds, prompting the right time to call upon God. However, when the world is filled with temporal happiness, it's a mistake to think the wind isn't contrary. Don't judge tranquility by such external indicators. Instead, evaluate it based on your internal temptations. Examine if you find peace within yourself, ensuring no internal tempests overwhelm you. It is a testament to great virtue to resist the allure, corruption, and upheaval that can accompany happiness. Learn to tread on this world, always placing your trust in Christ. If your footing falters, if you waver, if there are temptations you struggle to overcome, if you begin to sink, cry out to Jesus saying, "Lord, save me." In Peter, consider the shared condition of us all, recognizing that when the wind of temptation seeks to disturb or its waves threaten to engulf us, we may cry out to Christ. He will stretch forth his hand and rescue us from the depths. Continuing from there, and when he entered the ship, the wind ceased. On the last day, Christ shall ascend into the ship of the church, sitting on the throne of his glory. This throne aptly symbolizes the church. Currently, by faith and good works, Christ abides in the church, and in the final days, he will manifest his glory within it. At that point, the wind shall cease as evil spirits lose their power to unleash the flames of temptation and the disturbances of troubles. All things will be in peace and at rest. Following this, those in the ship with him approached and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Those who remain steadfast in the church amid the tempests of temptation will joyfully approach him. Entering his kingdom, they will worship him, perpetually praising and affirming him as the true Son of God. This aligns with the prophecy about the elect raised from death. "All flesh shall come and worship before my face," says the Lord, Isaiah 66. Additionally, it echoes the sentiment expressed in the Psalms. "Blessed are they that dwell in your house. They will be always praising you." Those who believe in their hearts, confess with their mouths, and see Christ's ineffable begetting from the Father will praise him with heart and mouth, acknowledging his divine glory. He, along with the Father and the Holy Ghost, lives and reigns in unity, God throughout all ages. Amen.
This has been a Sermon Project production, original material by Peter Kennedy, copyright 2024, all rights reserved. We facilitate very generous usage permissions, so please let us know your requirements. If you like this type of content and want more of it, please consider partnering with us. In Canada, the Sermon Project is fully charitable, and all donations receive a tax-deductible receipt. If you're outside Canada, we would still love for you to partner with us too, but unfortunately we cannot offer a tax receipt. For more information and donation links, go to sermonproject.com.